Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 237. So today, we are speaking to Daniel Choi of Intelligentsia. He is the VP of Client Services there after an acquisition by Intelligentsia. We previously spoke to Daniel Choi on episode 214 and 231. If you want to go back and listen to those, there's more background information. But today we have a good conversation about the future and potential of outsourcing and, you know, more specifically, how that can help you in your business. So I had a good chat with Daniel and learned some good things here. If you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Daniel, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/237. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined again by Daniel Choi, the VP of Client Services for Intelligentsia. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for talking to me, Derek.
Yeah, pleasure, and thanks for coming back. I'm super excited to be talking to you again, and we've previously spoken to you about Intelligentsia and the services and also your experience in outsourcing. Despite being still a young chap, you've been outsourcing since 2011 now, so you know, the whole industry is only about 20, 25 years old, so you've certainly been in it a long time. Now, I wanted to, you know, discuss the future of outsourcing in the Philippines. Certainly, there's a lot of talk about where it's going. It's one of the biggest, well, it is the single biggest sector in the Philippines.
That's right.
Employs about 1.3 million people. It's a highly sophisticated sector. So now, of course, there's a lot of speculation as to, you know, is this thing growing? Is it plateauing? And also, what will happen with AI and automation? You know, and how also does the Philippines continue to upskill its people to make sure that the outsourcing provision keeps on climbing that skills ladder and value add ladder? So, super long intro, but you know, you've been outsourcing now for 8 years, and you know, no doubt you have seen the skill sets and functionality increase. I mean, I suppose, you know, do you just want to give us insight into how you saw outsourcing when you started compared to what you see the potential of now?
Sure. I think we were a little bit of an anomaly in terms of the industry when we entered into it. We didn't really understand the industry. We just had a itch and we just had to scratch. That's kind of how I got into the industry. But as a whole, me and my business partner, we got into outsourcing because we had our own e-commerce store in the U.S. and there were certain tasks that were very took, you know, physical amount of time that was just not possible for two people to handle. And so we actually ended up offloading some of our data entry, some of our operation management to the Philippines to handle, as well as customer service. And looking back, I realized that, you know, largely outsourcing in the Philippines was based on voice or call customer support center. So they'll be handling emails, they'll be handling phone calls, and they'll be handling live chats. And that still is the biggest pie of the industry in the Philippines, I believe. And us being a niche player at that time, we were just small. But I think in the industry, like you were talking about upscaling, so some of the work that's been growing, I feel, is the technology piece, is the data entry piece, and it's more integration into the operations of the, you know, businesses in the U.S. or Australia or United Kingdom. I feel that, you know, for me at least, for our industry, the niche for outsourcing is ever growing. I think it's just that proportions are shifting based on the trends.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, I still, because there is talk of the industry plateauing and What I think a lot of people, or this is what I'm trying to tell people, is that outsourcing really only started with the Fortune 500s, with the Fortune 1000s, because outsourcing used to be super expensive because you would need to build facilities, you would need to bring over servers, you'd need to put in the cables yourself. Whereas now, you know, and you guys starting in 2011 reflected this in that everything is far more plug and play now. It's cheaper to set things up. It's still expensive. It's still complicated. But now things can, you know, really be set up a lot cheaper and quicker now. And that Absolutely. Then plays into the benefit of the clients, because every, like, BPOs and outsourcing suppliers are now accepting clients in smaller scale. So one seats, two seats. You know, and above, which I think is really opening up the market. But how do you see the awareness in the US? Because I still see that most of middle America, the smaller, medium-sized businesses, they're still thinking they're out, what, they're maybe not aware of outsourcing, and if they think of it, it's kind of something that American Express does and not the common business.
Absolutely. I still feel it's there's room for grow, especially with small and medium sized companies, because like you said, they feel like, you know, it doesn't fit their bill because they're just a small company. But I feel like coming from my own experience, they are the ones that need it more than ever, because, you know, the businesses are getting ever more competitive, and only the way to, you know, be compete in the market is to find economical means to, you know, sustain your operations. And outsourcing is absolutely at the center of, you know, economical, operational, you know, having the lean operations. And I still feel it's very new to the small and medium size. And, you know, even in the Philippines, there are a lot of like 5,000 seaters. There are a lot of big BPO companies, and they are not, you know, I think recently there's been a change where it's because infrastructure is there now, it's easier to set up. Now companies are starting to reach out to small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's just sort of building that gap in awareness, isn't it? And letting people know right. that it's out there and accessible and not really that difficult to start. And, you know, have you... What are your thoughts on automation? You know, will all of this be automated in the future? Do you think that the outsourcing, but generalized lower level employment, is at risk?
It's hard to see the future, right? But the technology by itself will have an impact, I feel. And I think it's all related to timing. So I feel like AI as a technology is still developing, and I don't think it's made strides into affecting into the labor market in a way that it's very significant to reduce the manpower. I still feel, you know, that human touch is needed in a lot of the business operations that are going on today. And unless there are some significant strides with AI or automation, it's going to be hard to replace manpower. With that said, though, there are a lot of, you know, developments that are in the background, but I feel it still needs time for it to become commercial, for it to be applied to the businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you see a future where, you know, all of a workforce, all of an organization is really globalized, so that, you know, instead of getting your, I don't know, bookkeeping done in the Philippines, the business is basically built and run in the Philippines? And in fact, I imagine that's what you did with your first business. Yeah, like you started with some of the basic functions, but really, as you know, as you needed anyone, you really just brought them on in the Philippines, as opposed to looking in your local market.
Mm-hmm. I think that really depends on a case by case business, and it really follows the characteristic of the CEO or the founder of the company. I think for me and Carlo, we were a little bit more comfortable with the technology, with people working overseas. We were actually, you know, a little bit excited to travel to the Philippines and to be able to work with people. Mm. And we didn't mind outsourcing. But, you know, I've come across clients who believes in face-to-face time, who likes to have work around people. And they would like to keep certain level of employees in their office. Yes, I think capability wise, it'll be absolutely easier and capable to run a business overseas without having employees in the US or whatever the country that you're in. But I think because of that human touch, some people will choose to have their offices in the States or in UK or in Australia.
For sure. And then, I also get a lot of questions about Upwork and freelancer, and people often, I'm telling people to try outsourcing, and they say, "Well, I've tried Upwork and freelancer, and I got disappointed." Also, I've kind of given up on the Philippines. Do you have experience with that? And like, how do you see the difference between outsourcing and Upwork and Freelancer?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I think I even have some personal experiences, and we have clients who are coming from freelancers and that are burned by them. I think industry as a whole is evolving to offer different types of service to the clients, and the clients have this choice to make that, make a decision. But freelance is mainly like economical decision. You want to have some work done, and you're looking to be as do it with as least amount of money as possible. I think for organization like us, we see value in having a relationship with the client, having long-term relationship where not only the client is growing, but the staff is growing as well. So that's why we take the pains of, having the infrastructure, having the, legal structure that is compliant to the government, making sure all of the labor laws are compliant. And there's always gonna be different options for clients. But for those who are looking for longevity and that are looking for stability, they should really develop a relationship with a partner who can deliver that overseas.
Absolutely. And so you're deep into outsourcing now. Are you excited about the future of outsourcing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's going to be evolving ever the more. And you know what? I don't think it's just the outsourcing, but the labor market as a whole. I think we're evolving as a whole with the development in technology.
It's true, isn't it? Because people say outsourcing like it's a thing, but it's really outsourcing is really just employment, isn't it? And then you're employing
It
people to
really is.
do business. And so you're really just covering the whole swathe of employment, the whole swathe of business, and that's super exciting in a way, isn't
Yeah, that's what it is, really.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Daniel. If anyone wants to contact you or know any more about Intelligentsia, how can they do that?
They can contact me via email or visit us at our website. My email address is daniel@intelligentsia.com. Our website is www.intelligentsia.com.
Amazing. Thanks for your time, Daniel.
Thank you, Derek.
That was Daniel Choi of Intelligentsia. If you want to get in touch with Daniel or know any more about this episode, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/237. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.